AUDACY.
Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
What is this? Is this Jingle Balls?
No, it's that Sandy Claus Corn. It's a cover from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I got it. I knew it was Corn. Corn has another Christmas song, too.
I joked about a Corn Christmas song yesterday or the day before, and they're like, you're pretty close.
Yeah, they've been around. That wasn't the one I requested yesterday. That was a different one. But Corn, yeah. You can find some new metal Christmas. It's out there. They've been around long enough that they're going to have to do a couple Christmas songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that? I was unfamiliar with that one. What's it called again, Nick?
Kidnap the Sandy Claus.
Kidnap the Sandy Claus.
The Sandy Claus.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get him.
Yeah, well, it's a good. Add that to your holiday list out
there.
Sure,
put it in the mix.
Before we heard Korn singing about kidnapping Sandy Claus, Cowherd had some ideas about the NBA. Move the three-point line into the bench.
Stick around the bench.
So what does that mean?
I don't know.
Like back it up to like the hash mark?
Is that what he's talking about? You're allowed to be out of bounds over there? I don't know. I mean, I get his point, and I get
his opinion that you need to make a three a part of the game, but not the game, I think is a fair point. How you do it and how you execute it, I'm not saying he had the best ideas there, but that's a good way of saying it. The three-point attempt needs to be a part of the game. No one's saying completely get rid of it, but it can't be the whole game. Right now, it feels like it's the whole game.
It is, and I just feel like any of these tweaks, outside of like the one we talked about yesterday, like the three-point dunk or whatever, if a three-point line exists, this will eventually happen. Meaning, if you take away the corner three somehow, like it just like the line stops, or you move it back another foot, and you're like, well, now only like Curry and Lillard are going to be able to hit these. We'll give it a year. That's all these guys will work on.
Yeah.
They're going to do the exact same thing, and now it's going to be longer shots. But
Al Horford
still
used to take layups and dunks, and now he's lighting up threes.
Yeah. Because you remember the Kevin Garnett two? It was always like a long two, and you're like, man, just one more foot back. And he never really did it. He didn't have to.
Different league.
The league was different then. You know now if he was playing, he'd be one step back. So all these guys, you might have a year where the percentage dips a little bit, but teams are still going to be pushing for it. All the analytical guys on all the different teams are going to be like, okay, it's not in the corner anymore, but still launch threes. So short of taking it out, I think it's going to kind of morph back into always being kind of like this now.
And so you have to wonder, too, when it comes to the Celtics specifically, and we'll hear Mazzulla coming up on this, but I thought it was a good conversation yesterday. We heard Greg talking about it and continued throughout the day, and it's worth circling back to. You see the way the Celtics launch threes, and we've mentioned this before, but it's at a higher clip than any other team. They average 51.1 threes per game.
Yeah.
That's, seven more than any other team. Chicago is next up at 44. Hornets at 43, Warriors at 42, Timberwolves at 40, okay? Those are the most three-point attempts in the league. And the Celtics are head and shoulders above that. You do wonder, and I guess the retort to this would be, well, who's going to outshoot them over seven games? This isn't a one-off. This isn't the NCAA tournament where your shots go cold and you get knocked out. You need the Celtics to go cold in four out of seven games.
Yeah, it's not happening.
But just the idea that you're so reliant on, you know, a shot that the way the Celtics are hitting it goes in 37% of the time. You're still missing about two-thirds of them, even if you launch a billion. Is that the best way and the safest way to go about winning a championship? It worked a year ago.
Well, not only that, last year.
Will it work again?
The NBA Finals was Celtics-Mavericks, 1, 2, 3 attempts.
Mavs were 2 last year.
Yeah.
Mavs this year have amended their ways. They've gone the opposite way.
Are a lot lower. I don't know why that is.
Of the Celtics.
Now, an interesting case
study. They added Klay Thompson, and they've gone the other way. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is odd. But yeah, they finished last year regular season second most three attempts, and then they were kind of a surprise final run from a year ago. But it would be interesting this year. The team that takes the fewest threes in the NBA right now is the Denver Nuggets.
Hmm.
Now, they did not get back to the title game last year. But if they do this year, that would be pretty interesting.
Contrast in styles. What did you say yesterday, Keith?
Oh, styles make fights.
Make fights.
A great man once said that. And so, but if Denver, you know, it could be a copycat league in many ways. Everybody saw what Golden State was doing, and they're like, hey, we don't even have Curry and Thompson, but we're still going to do it this way. You do wonder, if you play this all the way out, and if the Nuggets remain at the bottom of the league, they take about 30 threes a game, so significantly fewer threes than the Celtics, and they win the title, maybe you get a little bit of change, but I feel like what you're actually going to get is, well, they get Jokic. they have the best. We don't have the best player in the world, so we have to do it this
way. That's true. They won't look at themselves and really reevaluate that their system is flawed. They'll just say, well, best player in the world beat us.
I don't think they'll reevaluate it. However, if the Celtics win again, they'll be like, that's the way to do it. You know, I think it'll just further the point home.
Well, and the league is clearly following suit. Because, again, you see, you know, teams like we talked about Anthony Edwards yesterday really increasing his three-point attempts. Teams like Chicago and Charlotte are launching away. So you see teams following suit. Joe Mazzulla was asked about this yesterday at Celtics practice. It's practice, so you hear a lot of basketballs bouncing around. But can I hear Mazzulla's answer, Nick, on the Celtics and all the three-point attempts and how it ties into ratings and the league shooting too many threes? Here's Mazzulla yesterday.
It's an interesting perspective, I think, because you don't, in the NFL, people aren't like, I want to see less scoring. They're not going to make the end zone smaller. They're not going to make the field smaller. So, like, scoring up across in other sports. And I guess my question would be is why in basketball is scoring up being an issue as opposed to other sports? Does anybody want to watch a football game and see less touchdowns? You know, so I think at the end of the day, anything new or changed?
A lot of basketballs.
Well, I think not everybody, but some people do like defense.
Some people do, but it's a false equivalency what I would say.
Yeah, it's
an interesting response by Mazzulla. It does feel a little sensitive, but it's a false equivalency because touchdowns, you know, all touchdowns are created equal. I guess a field goal versus a touchdown is different scoring. A safety versus a touchdown is different scoring. But all touchdowns are created equal.
Passing, running.
Every time you get in the end zone, it's worth the same amount of points. And I don't quite look at it the way he looks at it. Now, scoring is up. Why do we have a problem with scoring being up? I guess we don't. But, you know, if scoring is up in Major League Baseball, but it's boring to watch and the ball isn't often in play and it's three outcomes and you can predict it across every single game, every game looks the same, every at bat looks the same just about, then you start to run into there's no variety in what I'm watching. There's no real difference in what I'm watching.
It's also tough to be like scoring's up in basketball, which it is, but even when it was low, it was like 90, 100 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like hockey going from like 2-6 or soccer going from like 2-6. That's such a difference percentage-wise.
And again, what's more exciting? Somebody launching a three from 25 feet away or someone dunking? The dunk is worth two. This goes back to the Nick Wright point where it's like, okay, well, do I want scoring to be up? Well, yeah, I like scoring, but a more exciting scoring play is worth less points than that one. So that does seem out of whack.
No, I definitely think the best point around all of this is just you tune into an NBA game and they all look kind of the same. Whereas in football, there's always teams copying each other, but there are different teams. I mean, when you see Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry doing it one way, then you see Josh Allen doing it one way, you see all these different teams, like the speed of the Dolphins, like all the teams. Sure, there's certain playbooks that overlap and guys from certain trees or whatever, but you know, every Sunday or Saturday you're watching football, it can look a little bit different. Whereas the NBA, as much as I love it, it does have a lot of like that you could swap that team out with that team and that team out with that team, and it's kind of a same game.
Yeah, so the Celtics are the best at it, and they have the best talent.
Yeah, right.
But everybody kind of plays the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess outside of the Nuggets, it's a fair point by you. So maybe that's what we should root for. Jeff is in Needham on the NBA's three-point line. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Great topic. The NBA regular season is unwatchable, in my opinion. And I think the playoffs are exciting enough because everything's on the line. I think Cal Herd has something there with what he's suggesting. And I do agree with the comment about these guys will just start practicing from a foot and a half back. But I think by eliminating that sideline, it's a lot less space to work within. And I think it could open up the game more inside.
Okay, so that's Jeff's solution. I've seen this solution. It could be the same person on the text and Twitch chat. Eliminate goaltending on threes.
So you can goaltend threes? Like Garnett.
Threes.
You're speaking of Garnett.
Yeah.
And he's doing, guys will take shots after the whistle.
Yeah, you can sneak one in, but.
So I wonder if there's any like legitimacy to this. I wonder, because you have the G League, that's what you do. So like when baseball first put in the pitch clock, they put it in the minors, they tinkered with it, they looked at it.
They're doing it now with robot umps. That's what baseball has a good place to you know, check some of these out and play some of these out and game them out. And
I don't
you're
know
right.
They checked the big bags first. That was.
They might have just jammed that one through.
But
the G League would be a way to do that. Yeah,
so you can see what it looks like. See now you're not going to have, you know, the sheer number of fans, but the people who are watching it or the people that are involved in the league keep an eye on, be like, is there different strategies now, and is this affecting, or are guys just taking, you know, top of the key threes more, right? Is the sheer number of threes just as high, just there's no more corner three because you know, it is a little bit closer and guys can hit a pretty high percentage from there.
So is it going to work for the Celtics? Mazzulla sounds a little defensive, sensitive about it. I don't think they're changing their ways. So will it work? You can jump in. And do you like it? 617-779-7937. You know what Keith likes?
Yeah.
Movies. TV shows.
And twins.
He's going to give you the top movies and TV shows from 2024. Stay tuned. That's next.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
This gets a lot of spins in the Keefe car on the way to
say,
school.
How many times do you guys listen to this? Is like this or Frosty?
I was just going to say.
A lot of Frosty, a lot of this.
Yeah. This or Frosty, which are you picking? I would rather listen to Frosty.
Yeah.
This is not my favorite. The kids do enjoy it quite a bit.
No, I feel bad for my parents now looking back on it because me and my sister had the cassette of like the whole thing.
Oh, there's an album. There's not,
we
not
listen
one
to
song.
It constantly. I feel bad now.
Yes, you should. It's not great, but they it makes them happy. So you just kind of move on. But yeah, it's not my favorite. The year is almost up, Jones, and you'll see a lot of people are doing their best of 2024 lists as it relates to everything. In fact, we might do some the year in review tomorrow instead of week in review.
Great.
Some of the best of the program. But why not a top 10 movie list of the year, top 10 TV show of the list. I try to watch a lot. You can't watch everything.
No.
So I might miss a few along the way. There's still some stuff I got to watch before we do our big Dork Podcast Awards, which we do early in January, looking back on the year. But do you want me to go TV shows or movies first?
Let's do TV shows.
TV
first.
Shows.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 10 on my list, Baby Reindeer. Netflix series based on a true story starring the guy that it actually happened to. I don't know if you ever watched Baby Reindeer, but it was he deals with a female stalker. And then he's like a comedian. He's also like a bartender. It's a dark comedy.
Okay.
So it is at times funny, at times really sad, and also really messed up.
Okay.
Not one to watch with the kids, I
Got
would
it.
Say.
Bit of a thinker.
Bit of a thinker.
Okay.
Baby Reindeer. Nick, did you watch Baby Reindeer?
I heard you and Davey talking about it, but I haven't gotten to it.
It's a wild ride. Number 9 on my list, the show Evil. Evil had their most recent and perhaps final season. It's on Paramount Plus. This is the one where they go around and people think they might need exorcisms or not, and they deem whether they should. So there's like a trio of people, like one works for the church, one is like completely against that stuff, and then another is like sort of like more like a scientist type thing. And they go around and they're dealing with like demonic stuff. Some believe it, some don't.
Who needs
it's a
an
good
exorcism?
Show.
Who doesn't? Okay.
It's kind of you know, procedural, I guess you could say, but with demons. So I like Evil.
All right.
Number 8 on my list is The Boys. Not the strongest season of The Boys.
What year is it of that show?
That was year 5, I think.
Okay.
Or at least season 4, maybe season 5. And even a bad season of The Boys or a down season of The Boys would put it up as a top 10 show. Homelander is maybe one of the great characters of the last 10 years in television, in all seriousness. And so I love that show. And I think they got one more final season coming out next year. Similar to that, number 7 on my list is The Bear. Not the best season of The Bear, but still, comparing it to all the other shows that were out, very, very good. They have another season coming out next year. I think they filmed them back to back.
And so they'll be done as well.
I think they're going to be done
as well.
Some of the best stuff. It always gets thrown in the comedy category. It's not really a comedy at all.
Not even a dark comedy.
No, I mean, there's funny moments in it. There are like a few funny characters, but it's more kind of like intense. Like, I don't think Uncut Gems is a comedy, but Sandler's in it, so maybe some people would say that it is. All right, number 6 on my list is the show From, which only me and Nick and Wiggy have seen.
The three of you talk about it nonstop.
All the time.
Although I have started seeing it pop up on Instagram.
Oh.
People watch reacting really? To the first scene of season 1.
So I saw.
So it might pick up.
Maybe they're. So I saw if you have Xfinity, they do every week there's like a free streaming service. It's usually some garbage streaming service that they give you like a week free for. And this week it's MGM Plus.
Get in there.
Which is where this show
is
on.
Get in there.
So you have 30 hours to spare. Give it a rip. Watch From.
Okay.
Number 5 on the list came out early this year on Peacock. The comedy Ted.
Oh.
Out of nowhere how good this show was.
I asked you about this, and Nick has made many references to this as well. I asked you about this when it came out, and you're like, it's awesome.
It's so good. It's way better than it should be. So the Mark Wahlberg, Seth MacFarlane Ted movie, they had Ted and Ted 2. this is like a prequel. So they cast a new actor as like a young Mark Wahlberg, and then like Ted's Ted. And it's so funny. Like, it's probably the funniest show of the year.
Wow.
Number four on my list is Shogun. Shogun was on FX earlier this year. It's sort of, some call it like Game of Thrones meets Succession, because it has like a lot to do. There's not as many battle scenes as you would think. It's, so that's why maybe it's not like Game of Thrones as much. But like old, and then there's like historical truths to this as well.
And it's
like
a remake, right?
Old school Japan. Yeah, it was a book.
Okay.
And then it was a show, and it's excellent. And they may or may not get a season two. I kind of wish they would just leave it at this, but that's number four on my list. Number three, a show that just wrapped up also on Peacock, The Day of the Jackal. Speaking of remakes, this was a movie, this was a show, this was a book as well. Eddie Redmayne stars as an assassin, a little cat and mouse, trying to get after him a little bit. He's trying to kill people. People are trying to get him.
I told you a week ago at the Jones family Christmas party, my Uncle Pete, raving.
Uncle
and I mean
Pete
raving
is,
about this
he
show.
He is spot on.
10 hours? Watch it.
If you got 10 hours to spare, and you might, check out The Day of the Jackal. Number two on my list is Fallout. Fallout was adapted from a video game.
The video game, yeah.
Yeah, Amazon Prime series, sort of like apocalypse stuff. Walton Goggins is in the show. Excellent. Excellent. And Ella Purnell, who was in Yellow Jackets, the series, she's the star of this, and she kicks ass. So that's number two on my list. And then number one, I'm going with The Penguin.
Yes.
The Penguin was awesome on HBO Max. Spinoff from The Batman, takes place directly after the Batman movie, the most recent one, the Robert Pattinson one, and excellent.
Okay, so 10 to 1. Baby Reindeer, Evil, The Boys, The Bear, From, Ted, Shogun, Day of the Jackal, Fallout, and The Penguin. 10 to 1, top 10 TV shows of the year, according to Keith.
Pretty good.
Top 10
good
movies.
Good year for TV.
Yeah, really good year. Squid Game Season 2 comes out the day after Christmas. I loved Season 1, so we'll see. Maybe that'll join the list. There's a couple other movies, shows like Sweet Pea and Bad Monkey I didn't see yet, but I'm going to watch those. All right, 10 to 1 on movies. It is a little heavy horror, but I thought it was a great year for horror. Number 10, you might not believe this, Twisters.
Wow.
Twisters. Starring that Glenn Powell.
They're
oh,
back.
That handsome Glenn Powell.
They're back with something to say.
It might
Twisters,
be the
yeah.
best. It might be the best tornado movie ever made.
Better than Twister.
Better than The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Wizard of Better, Oz.
All right, so top three tornado movie
okay, good.
Ever made.
Good to know.
Number nine, Abigail.
Uh-huh.
Abigail. I know we had a viewer that was, or a listener that was mad that I spoiled Abigail, even though in the trailer, they kidnap a girl thinking they're holding her ransom.
Oh, yeah. Someone was pissed about that.
She's a vampire. She's a vampire.
It's the trailer it's and the, trailer. The description right. and everything about it.
Number eight, The Substance. Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, and it's what they refer to as body horror.
Ah.
Excellent. They might get Oscar noms for this.
It's not a Jim Irsay documentary. It's something different.
No, it's not. Okay. This was really, really good. Fall Guy. Very fun movie. Ryan Gosling plays a stunt guy.
Oh, yeah.
Emily Blunt is in it. Great movie. Fall Guy number seven. Number six, Love Lies Bleeding. This was a woman bodybuilder movie with Kristen Stewart.
Really?
Dude, it's good.
She's a bodybuilder?
She is not.
Okay.
She works at a gym. That? Her girlfriend's a bodybuilder.
Got it.
And it is awesome. Nobody talks about this movie.
Love Lies good. Bleeding.
It's very good.
Okay.
Number five, Strange Darling. Strange Darling. Cool part about this movie, serial killer. Also, they chop it up like a Tarantino movie, so they tell it different chapters, but they do it out of order.
Okay.
Real fun. Also, not one to watch probably with the kids or the family.
Okay. That's an adult
Strange
movie.
Darling.
Yeah.
Number four on my list is an Irish horror movie called Oddity. Real good scares in this. Some awesome ideas. Kind of a ghost story-ish.
Oddity.
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 Got it. Speaking of horror movies, number three on my list, Late Night with the Devil.
Okay.
This is streaming somewhere now, I believe.
Probably still Netflix.
Probably
Hulu. Hulu.
Yeah, one of those.
It's out there.
You'll find
Just
it.
Search
You'll
it.
Find it.
Yeah.
Takes place in like the 70s, and they're doing like a late night talk show, and then all of a sudden, maybe there's some demons involved. Mm. Very good. Number two, Dune Part 2.
Nice.
Dune Part 2, which was great. I mean, I liked the first one. Second one was even better. And then TBD on the third one. And then my number one movie, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
It had a ton of hype. Lived up to it for me. It was going to be tough to sort of like you know, get these characters together, tied in with all the MCU stuff, because there's been a lot of misses over the last few years. How are they going to do it? I thought they did an unbelievable job. Wildly entertaining.
And that dog pool, so cute.
Dog pool.
Plays fresh.
They kind of leaned on dog pool too much.
Too much?
They showed him like
too much dog pool?
There's a lot of dog pool.
Every time you're like, all right, we're done with this, like there'd be like a slow motion scene, like here comes dog pool again. You're like, all right, we got that.
We got
like,
it.
Like, let's move on to the next thing.
Next thing.
That's the next thing.
10-1, top 10 movies of the year from Keith, starting at 10. Twisters. It's a top three tornado movie of all time.
No doubt.
Abigail, text line says that was not in the trailer, Keith.
Yeah,
great movie, though.
Watch the trailer again. She's got, like, fangs. She's, like, biting guys. Like, what do you think that is?
The first line of the description is, people kidnap a little girl who turns into a vampire.
Okay, well,
that's the first line of the description.
Yeah. Number 8 is A Substance. 7, Fall Guy. Love, Lies, Bleeding.
Check that one out.
Strange Dealing?
Darling.
Darling. I couldn't read my own handwriting. Okay. Sorry. Number 4 is Oddity. 3 is Late Night with the Devil. 2 is Dune. And number 1, Deadpool and Wolverine. Hmm? Top 10 TV shows. Top 10 movies of 2024.
Get in there.
According to Rich Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Any TV suggestions, we'll take those as well. Plus, not only was Alex Van Pelt speaking earlier today, which we'll get to, and I want to dissect more of what he said, DeMarcus Covington, who I believe is scheduled to appear on this program tomorrow, had a couple of doozies as well. Let's get to those next.